cat named Kit Kat or a terrier named Tolstoy, the idea that animals have individual personalities may seem obvious, but among scientists studying wildlife, that suggestion has long been taboo, a surefire way of misinterpreting nature by anthropomorphizing its creatures. Well, attitudes are changing, and scientists are starting to find that not only do wild animals have an array of personalities, each personality may play a specific role in shaping the world around us. To find out more, WBUR's podcast Endless Thread visited the Penobscot Experimental Forest, where University of Maine professor Alessio Mortaliti runs a team studying the personalities of rodents. Endless Threads, Dean Russell and Ben Brock Johnson bring us this story.
Okay, we gotta go. Okay, quick. We're going up to a small hill, and there's some boxes at the top of the hill, and I'm not sure what's gonna happen.
What's going to happen are a set of tests to determine whether the animal is bold or shy.
For the first test, PhD student Ivy Yen leads us through the trees up to the top of a hill to this tiny clearing. There's a 2-foot-tall box without a top in front of us. She moves a mouse into the Ferrari of animal traps, something called an emergence trap.
So the mouse is going back into the emergence trap.
And then the emergence trap is put inside the box, and Ivy opens the trap door.
If a mouse takes a long time to leave the trap, Alessio says that mouse is likely shy, but
a more curious, bold individual will just get out.
What if it's a lazy individual who wants to sleep longer?
This is not the moment in their life to be lazy. It's more like they're really freaking scared.
Turns out this first mouse isn't lazy or scared. He's bold.
The mouse is already out of the trap.
And if you watch a few rounds of this test, you can really get to see the difference. Some mice rocket out of the traps. Others edge out ever so slightly, looking kind of nervous. Still, others never leave, hugging the walls of the trap.
But how do we know an animal is displaying a personality trait versus a fleeting emotion or a random action?
That question is why Alessio's team does multiple tests. Different settings, different challenges. They also repeat these tests once a month. And they found that each animal tends to behave the same every time, which is important because it's those repeated actions that show personality. Wallflower this month, wallflower next month.
We can be loud now.
We can be loud. Yeah. Okay, we can talk again.
This still leaves a few questions. First, why do personalities exist at all among people, mice, voles, chipmunks?
Personality exists because it's the result of evolution. So natural selection has favored this existence of personality.
Whether we say bold or shy, or given the right test, even lazy, personalities don't exist in spite of survival of the fittest. They exist because of it. A lot of times, fortune does favor the bold. But if everyone is bold, that's not good for a species that can get scooped up at any moment.
So sometimes shy is the fittest.
If it was convenient for every individual to behave in exactly the same way, evolution would have made sure that happened. It didn't.
But Alessio's team isn't just testing personalities. They're showing that those different personalities affect other living things in different ways.
What's really fascinating is we tend to see animals as, you know, all the same, they all have the same role in the ecosystem. We're finding out that actually some individuals are disproportionately more important than others from the perspective of the plant, for example.
Imagine an acorn falling from a tree. It lands in the parent tree's giant shadow, where it can't grow. Now, let's say a shy mouse takes it and saves it for winter. That shy mouse won't venture far. It'll just keep it in the shade of the tree. And that acorn will never get the light or nutrients it needs to grow.
But a bold mouse is more likely to cache its acorn farther away. perhaps in a sunny clearing where it might more easily grow.
Often it happens to be a great place for the plant to germinate. And if the seed is forgotten or the small mammal dies, that plant has a chance to germinate.
This is happening all the time. It's how forests grow and survive. Small, bold mammals moving tree seeds far enough away to survive and thrive.
This isn't to say that only bold rodents benefit a forest. Early evidence suggests that healthier, more resilient forests have a diversity of personalities, which means shy or active or even lazy mice may also have their own unique roles to play. It's Alessio's mission to figure out what those roles are. PhD student Ivy Yen tells us there's one more part of this, which has to do with the way trees and animals are responding to our human-caused climate crisis.
So basically, with climate change, lots of things are happening. But one of the big things is that, like, the habitable range of some plants is shifting. But things like oaks, where the seeds are so big and so fat, they're not going to be dispersed by, like, the wind or, like, bombastically or whatever. It's going to be animal-mediated.
This was a big revelation for me. Forests move. They migrate in slow motion over generations of trees. Except without small birds and mammals, certain tree species can't move at all, which is important because, depending on where you are, the forests near you are likely going to look a lot different in the coming decades, if they survive at all.
Some forests in New England, for example, are sick. Certain trees prefer colder climates, and yet the area is warming. Others are facing down more droughts, new pests, new disease, all fueled by climate change. To survive, forests may need to move north to colder areas.
Which means we may also need certain animal personalities to help.
You need more, bolder.
Yes, yeah. More exploratory, more likely to try new foods, you know, like the foodie animals. Like, they're going to be the ones that are going to bring it and continue, like, these oak species that might not be able to survive anymore.
Wow.
So they'll be the ones that bring them in. That's our hypothesis.
That's cool.
Alessio and his team are kind of pushing back against this inconsistent application of personality in our minds. This compartmentalization when we think about animal personalities. And I have to admit, hanging out with Alessio and his grad students in this experimental forest made me see forests in a whole new way. It's not just a place where there's an animal here or there. This place is literally bursting with small mammals. Alessio and his team say there's a mouse every 13 steps. And what's wild is that these researchers are trying to help humanity team up with these tiny animals in the future to help forests move into more habitable zones for the trees that make them up, so that those trees can support fragile, complex ecosystems and give us all oxygen.
This also isn't just a bunch of scientists slapping peanut butter into tiny animal Ferraris to do weird experiments. This is a bunch of people on a solemn and powerful mission. They are trying to help save the planet by calling for the conservation of personalities. It's not just about protecting the bold, it's about recognizing that these personalities, every personality, exists for a reason. Maybe a reason we don't know yet. For Alessio's team, this is about protecting a form of diversity that a few decades ago, we didn't even really know existed.
But they also say there's a ways to go before this unique need for personality is recognized by the wider public.
This is us doing this, but we're definitely so far from having our findings taken into account into policy. But I believe, you know, in 10, 20, 30 years, what, you know, my students are doing is going to become policy, but it's just the world is not aware about what's about to happen.
That's Professor Alessio Mortaliti speaking with WBUR podcast Endless Thread. Dean Russell and Ben Brock Johnson brought us this story. You can find a link to their full episode on animal personalities at our website, hereandnow.org. And meanwhile, we're following the story of an orphaned polar bear cub in Alaska. Last month, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service got word of the bear in the Prudhoe Bay area. Officials say they decided to capture the cub because it was showing comfort around people. They say the decision was not taken lightly. Zookeeper Sam Lavin told KTUU, Alaska's news source, that the bear is now in quarantine.
He was seen at one point eating an Arctic fox, and those have a high rabies prevalence in some areas, so we're just taking an abundance of caution and doing a really heavy quarantine on him. So he's not allowed near other animals, not a lot of people are allowed back to see him. We're really minimizing contact right now.
U.S. Fish and Wildlife says the bear is 10 or 11 months old and weighs just over 100 pounds, which is slightly underweight. At this point, it's not clear where the bear will end up.